Welcome to the 148th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Today, I have the one and only registered dietitian with my practice, Addie Delaney Meinrich. So welcome, Addie.
Hello, Mom.
That's boss mom to you. So, no, there's no boss, really. So, I have to say on the podcast that I really appreciate when you get the newsletter. If you've all signed up for the newsletter, Addie does a lot of the newsletter, the recipes. We do the science part together, but she is the backbone behind a lot of the website and the newsletter. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. She's the artsy one, the talented one in the family. So that's good to have along. So we were going to talk today a little bit about maybe the struggle with not quite being plant-based perfect. You know, we're all on a journey. We all start at some place, and we all tend to have trials and tribulations, whether it's sugar or salt or going out. On the class one, my level one class, last week I asked, what are some of your successes and what are some of your failures of the week? And one gentleman shared that his daughter was there, that she bought a vegan cookbook and she took the oil out of the corn chowder recipe. And corn chowder was one of his favorite soups. And she made it, and he said she followed every direction to the T and didn't add anything she was supposed to add. And he said it didn't taste very good. He said, but then the second day it tasted a little bit better. And the third day it tasted even better. But it was almost there, but wasn't what he remembered corn chowder as being. And it was brutally honest and so appreciated by everybody, because a lot of times when we're making the transition to plant-based nutrition, we do try to make something that mimics what we had before, and we're utterly disappointed. And if you work hard to make something and it doesn't turn out, it can be really discouraging.
Yes, especially like plenty of instances when we first went plant-based around birthdays. The cake just looked like deflated tires. It's just... But we've perfected it to a point. And now it's just an experiment, like the rest of this whole transition, and how you get things to work in your own life and how plant-based lifestyle looks in your journey.
And sometimes it's like, what do you think's missing? And it's kind of can be a group discussion. I know Friday we had green soup on our level three class, and I used only one jalapeno, so depending, and you know, we're trying to make class and soup in 30 minutes, so some people thought the broth wasn't salty enough and the broth wasn't flavorful enough. And when I came home, I put zucchini and another jalapeno and some more mushrooms in it, and it got much better. But I know you have a version of the green soup, and of course, Nuni, or my mom or grandma, she was the inventor of our Delaney Girls green soup, and so it's a little bit different every time. And you can work together to make things better, as opposed to just throwing the green soup out with the dishwasher water, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. It's all kind of, that's what the nice thing about this is. Sometimes it's frustrating when people just get started, because I know a lot of, you know, people and myself, we want, you know, straight cut. This is how it's going to go. This is what I need to do. By this date, I will have this result. And this is just uniform how this is going to be. And so the kind of nice thing but hard thing to swallow is this is very customizable. It's a lifestyle with plenty of variety for your nutrition as well as your wellness. And it might take a little bit of time to figure out what it looks like in your life, but I think it's much more sustainable and enjoyable when you find, one, ways that nutrition, things that you like that are also good for you, how they fit into your life for you and your story, as well as wellness. So kind of going with, you know, exercise. So, you know, you and I, we like to run, but some people, the thought of jogging down to the end of the street makes them want to vomit. So, you know, finding an exercise class that they like that might be a little bit better.
True, all true. Yeah, I mean, it's looking at your successes and failures. Since you've come on board and we've been doing the online programs as well as actually since we launched the membership program in July, we have had probably the, I don't know if it's the most success, but we've had a tremendous amount of success in reversing adult onset diabetes and not, just getting sugars under control, but actually making hemoglobin A1Cs come back to normal. And it has been so rewarding, and people are so happy when they get off these medications that cause explosive diarrhea or low sugar or shakes or feeling terrible. And but it's not always, a straight linear curve to success. There are certainly ups and downs, and not everybody, it's we can't say just like they do on TV, and 21 days and 3 hours, you're going to be diabetes free. Everybody's a little bit different. And we keep have people keep logs. We work together, and we learn from their sugar. So if they have a high sugar, it's not you're a bad person. And look, what did you do wrong? It's okay. Let's learn from this. And so the glucose levels that people measure are actually feedback, so that we can all learn together and plot their successes.
Yes, and I think it has been tremendously rewarding to see that this is actually possible coming from someone who is just, not out of school too far, and people are still being taught that, type 2 diabetes is something that is not reversible. It just can be managed, and, we're all managing our health, but to have this disease and be, constantly, at the will of, living off of medications and, never seeing any hope to getting any kind of improvement. The fact that this can be offered and that people can do it, obviously with help from professionals, but can do it on their own and take control. I think it's been really great to see, even though there may be highs and lows along the way, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, the basic mechanism. I had actually a physician in my office on Friday, and he said it was the first time that he had ever had diabetes explained as the etiology being fat blocking the uptake of glucose into the muscle cell. And, so we have to get the fat out of the muscle cell, and obviously we have to get the fat out of the diet so that the glucose can flow into the muscle cell easier. So sometimes we get people on a whole food plant-based diet and we get the fat out pretty quick, but how that fat comes out of the muscle cell is variable from person to person based on their size, their activity level, and metabolism. So sometimes, we'll see, even though they're eating really good, they become frustrated because they have a high glucose. But just taking a walk can make all the difference in the world, because if you burn like 10 extra calories, you're starting to burn some of those fat cells. And so gradually, day after day, burning 10 or 12, 20 extra calories, all of a sudden the sugars start to decrease. And then, that data starts to become positive and something that they look forward to, as opposed to dreaded finger stick. I think one of the things that we don't talk about is that when people have diabetes, they have these high insulin levels in their blood. And with those high insulin levels, it causes a breakdown of triglycerides into the bloodstream. And those triglycerides are toxic as far as to the blood vessel, to the brain. They cause damage. But there are also other things that cause toxicity as far as tumor necrosis factor, interleukin-3, interleukin-6, which are these inflammatory components, and insulin-like growth factor. So we're not just trying, like people that just throw a medicine or at somebody to, make that. We're not just looking for that glucose number to be good, but we're actually looking for that insulin level to start to decrease, because again, the glucose is starting to go into the cell without difficulty. So it's a process that takes some time, but it's something that we need to keep, focus on, and it has to be steady. We get the feedback and we make adjustments and go and work with people. And they text us in the mornings with their sugars in the evening, in the morning, in the next morning, and we adjust things accordingly. And you help adjust the nutrition. Talk a little bit about some of the general things that you've been doing as far as starting people out with their diabetes. If somebody just were to start with us with diabetes.
Well, typically, what we do is your standard nutrition log. And if you are a member of a practice, you're probably either love them or eye roll me when I tell them I'm going to have you do a 4-day food log. But I just think it's a very educational tool for both myself and the client I'm speaking with. I think it's great for me since I always tell people I can't go home and live with you for a week. That would make things very simple, but to be able to write things down, it's a little tedious, but I think it's great. It's a great practice, to write exactly what you're intaking. Because I think we're in this lifestyle of go, go, go. We think we're great multitaskers. I give this, I preach this to, a lot of clients that, we think that we're really great multitaskers. We think we've tricked our brain, but we're not meant to be that way. So to sit down, practice, mindful eating is usually something that I start with. It's not even, quantity. It's more of the actual foods you're eating, paying attention to what your body is truly craving, giving it the nutrients it needs, practicing some of these lifestyle habits. And so I'm not really even starting off with any kind of food choice restriction or, quantity restriction. And I look at, if they're active, when their activities are. If they're not active, how we can get that going. I look at, obviously, their weight that they're beginning at and how long that they've had, uncontrollable blood glucose values for. And we take a look at the exact foods they're eating. I have them write down the time of day they've ate, the quantity of each ingredient in each meal, and I also have a note section that, we go through, if they were having a bad day and, this is more of an emotional meal or they didn't plan well or they got home and they were ravenously hungry because they didn't eat enough for lunch and they needed to eat something and they grabbed a bunch of chips. And so I go through that so that we can both sit down and I can point out the positives and then the areas for rooms for improvement. Because I never like to think of a whole day or as something as a total failure, a total waste, because I think that, each thing and everything that happens in life, whether we're talking about nutrition or anything, you can always learn from it. Sometimes it's not that fun to relive certain situations or certain actions that you've done because, they may have had, negative consequences, such as maybe your eating habits or not exercising. We don't want to go there because you've been quote unquote bad, but, taking a positive away from it and being like, well, wait a minute, no, this component of your meal is fine, but let's add a little bit more of this, or, okay, why did this happen? Let's prepare better next time. So I really try to focus on the person, what they currently do, and either learning from anything that's not extremely beneficial for their health, but also enhancing what they already do that's positive.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. I mean, so we are very often it's very easy to criticize yourself and get down on yourself, but I do think that it's good practice for all of us every day to kind of reward our successes. It doesn't shouldn't be rewarded with food necessarily, but to acknowledge, maybe jot it down in a journal. This are the things that went well, and these are my goals for improvement in the future. But yeah, I think that it, really takes some time to say, this is a lot better than it was before, and this is where I'm going. It's kind of like the long run. It's if you look at 26 miles, it could be daunting, but if you start by looking and we just got to do 1 mile 26 times, maybe not so bad. I think that's a great way. And again, it's with everything, not just food. If you can find, what went right today, because it certainly does a lot to, if nothing else, to make your evening better. If you can say, well, that went right, and just give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back. One of the, there's a Navy SEAL seal that talked about having a cookie jar full of positives. And he actually, you know, wrote little like fortune cookies down, you know, little pieces of paper, and he put them in the cookie jar of things that went right. And every once in a while, you need to pull out, you know, one of the little fortune cookies and say, these are things that, that have went right for me, so that, you know, you have an accumulation of, okay, you know, things are better than what they seem. Because you can, it seems like sometimes we can really come up with all the negative things, but the positive things kind of get lost in the shutter, in the shuffle.
I think that that's so true. And I think also, you know, not even just having ourselves to get down on, but I think that we've also become, you know, very good at comparing ourselves to others. So you see other people's success story, or maybe if we're just talking about plant-based, you see the person sitting across from you, for example, at nutrition class, you think they don't look overweight. You think, oh, they've got this plant-based thing down pat. But everybody has been in some version of where you're at, and, you know, nothing is perfect. And I think it's really good, like you said, just to, you know, reiterate it all, to congratulate yourself from where you've gotten to, because the fact that you are noticing that you need to make changes for your health and that you're taking one step forward is better than not taking any steps at all.
Yeah. And the other thing is when you measure success early on, if you're trying to go from a blood sugar of 300 to 200, that's fairly easy. But trying to go from a blood sugar of 150 to 100 is, in fasting in the morning, is more difficult. So it's kind of like, you know, running a 13-minute mile down to a 12-minute mile is a large percentage improvement. But going from, you know, maybe the 9-minute mile to the 7, you know, it's really a lot more difficult. So it's same way with weight, you know, losing that first 5 or 6 pounds can be fairly easy. And one of the reasons for that, and you can go into it further, is, you know, the more you weigh, the more calories that you need to burn just to maintain that weight. But as your weight comes down, you know, a 100-pound person needs a lot less calories to maintain that than a 200-pound. So as your weight goes down, you require less calories, but your cravings haven't generally, you know, not necessarily kept up with that. So it can seem that, you know, you're not making very big gains, but those little gains mean a lot, really, as far as when it comes to health.
Yeah, and that's when we really fine-tune, you know, those nutrition habits or physical activity habits that people are having. Because usually once you get to that point, it's just a little tweak here or there that will get you over that edge. But yes, and it's just, I also always like to go over this with clients too in our sessions. You know, we have this huge goal, and I always say, let me take care of, you know, maintaining that big goal for you. We're going to put it down in our initial assessment, you know, with you and I, our initial conversation. We're going to focus on that big goal, what it is. Okay, now that you've said it, now that you've stated it, I'm focusing on that garden. You don't have to worry about tending to that. Each time we talk, I break it down into just a few smaller goals that may not have a number attached to them, that may not even be super specific. They're usually more actions. And, you know, we're going to go through, you know, and they're usually, you know, spoiler alert, they're lifestyle habits that I'm hoping that you start to create. And so they may not be super difficult to you. And I think with change, sometimes if we're not very uncomfortable and we're not stressing out over it, it's not a big enough change. We're being too easy on ourselves. But I don't think that we set ourselves up for success as much as we should, especially with things that are huge, like lifestyle changes. You know, your nutrition, what you eat is a huge part of your daily life. And if you're completely revamping it, you know, that's a lot to take on. So, you know, taking it in baby steps, there's nothing wrong with that. So simplifying it a little bit, making it, you know, quote unquote easy, I think is not easy at all. I think it's smart, you know, so you're going to feel a lot better in 2 months if you've accomplished a couple quote unquote easy goals versus if you haven't lost any weight, you've actually gained 5 pounds and you've been stressing out every time you have to talk to either you or I because you're not doing what you think should be perfect. So everybody can give themselves a little bit of grace and set themselves up for success. I think we would all be a lot better, myself included. It is obviously much easier said than done. But if we can do it for a couple people, then maybe somebody can do it for us.
Well, I actually am very proud of one of my patients that she was actually very honest with me this week. She said, I don't know that if you're going to tell me I have to give up so many more things right now, I don't know that I'll be able to sustain it. So I said, okay, let's look for like 10 calories a day. And it came down to she was having a breakfast with maple syrup on something that was, some oatmeal, or she actually put maple syrup on a sweet potato and something else. And I was like, okay, so how about we cut down a little bit of the maple syrup? Not necessarily cut it out, but let's just cut back on it. And then, and see how it tastes. See how you can get along and at least taste it beforehand to see whether you need that much. And, so just looking for 10 calories and then see how that goes. So I've tweaked that. And then you might tweak something else. So maybe it's if you like, you're really a bread lover. It's like, okay, well, we're going to tweak bread. We're going to have a sandwich or we're going to have bread in this setting, not just to have it every day. So we're going to make it special. And you're going to have it in a certain session. So we're not going to say you can't ever have it again, but we're going to have it in a setting where, you focus on it. So, you back down on it little by little, knowing that your goals are going to, the progress may slow a little bit, but slow and steady, again, often wins the race. You know what I mean? This is like we talked about before we started. This is not just a diet that you get the problem fixed and then you go back to doing what you want. That would be called Weight Watchers. Or Jenny Craig or something along that line, those people are more than happy to have you lose weight and they're very successful at maybe having you lose weight, but they're also very successful at having you back to your old ways and gain weight only to need to sign up again. This is a way that you're going to teach your body to work with yourself that you learn the nutrients, you learn how to like it, you learn the good things about it, and it's something you can sustain forever. And you do have to like it, and you do have to enjoy it, and it does have to be pretty easy. If it's complicated, if you have to do calculus, every day to get your breakfast on the table and get out, 20,000 appliances to get your breakfast or your lunch on the table, it's not sustainable.
When you market, if you want to use the word market for lack of a better term, that this practice is your idea of optimal health and wellness, I think that's a huge chunk of it, that we want to create that wellness picture where it's, stress-free, healthy living that has to do with your mind and your spirit. And if you are stressed out and only thinking negative about your actions and you feel like you're being forced to do things you don't, want to do in terms of food you can eat, things you can't eat, and you're just very bogged down with, cooking and everything, then that's not what we're aiming for. So I think that, is something that, that we've really, both of us have tried to focus on is hearing people where they're at, meeting them there, and trying to work with them alongside them in their journey, not just forcing them to the finish line all at once.
Today, I was with Dr. Colin Campbell. He did a presentation up at the University of South Florida in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I was able to go up and do a greeting with him. And, again, once you get in a room full of positive people, it produces energy. And so, we talked about him coming down. So March 24th for our conference on Saturday, he'll be coming down and speaking and you'll be speaking. Tim Marie Hagenberger, who's been on the podcast several times, will be speaking and I'll be speaking. We're doing cooking demonstrations. But one of the best things, we have great food. A plant-based breakfast, plant-based lunch in a cooking demonstration. But one of the best things about that a whole day is being in a room full of positive people who want to achieve their optimal health, their learning, and their, I love watching the interactions during the conference where people that are meet each other sitting across the table and they start to share ideas and what they've been through and how they're, and they help each other. And it's, if you have the desire to see some sunshine in March 24th. A lot of the times it's still not great weather up north, so it's a great way to plan a weekend to come down to Punta Gorda and share our day full of conference with us. You can get your tickets on eventbrite.com. If you have any questions, you can go to the website and call our office even if you have trouble, but eventbrite.com. And it's the third annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference.
Yeah, and you can find the link to Eventbrite in our show notes for today.
Yes, we'll have a link. And in addition, what we're adding this year is a day of individual consults with Addie, Timory, and myself the day before. So if you'd like to come and have a consult for an hour and talk about your health problems and your goals, we'd love to spend time with you then. We'll also have two yoga classes that day as well. It's a great time of the year. There's a lot of things to do around here as far as, seeing some sights and walking. So if you'd like to spend the extra day with us, we'd love to have you as well. But I think, celebrating, there's all kinds of celebrating successes as far as, with plant-based nutrition, being aware of the increased energy that you get, people's glucose improves, joint aches is something that people are amazed at when their joints get better, and their ability to walk. We have several patients, whether it's diabetic neuropathy or they had injuries to joints in the past. And, just because you had a skiing accident or some sort of trauma to your joint, it doesn't mean that you can't rehab that better. A lot of people will say, well, that's an old injury and we can't do anything about it. But sometimes focusing on strengthening the muscles around the joint and mobility, you can get back to moving and walking. So that's another thing that we like to talk to people about. I have a patient that she went from having to take a Jazzy in the grocery store till she went to, and now she's just using a cart and walking around, and she uses her cane. She doesn't use the walker anymore, and she's excited. It's been years, and she actually recorded her lowest glucose, she at the class at 98. That's the first time that she's been in the 90s for years, she said. So, it's, and everybody was so excited to celebrate her success with her, and it gives other people hope. So anytime you get to chance to be in a positive environment, if your town has a meetup group, that's something to check out, to go be around positive people. If or start a meetup group, that's the other option. If your family's not all in, create your own.
Yeah, I think that's another great reason why, even joining. I know you and I always talk about after we run, any kind of races, being around all those people with all those endorphins flowing with the running community. But if you can find even, as a nutrition, finding a meetup group that way too. But I think, as well, if you're jumping into this year with some, want to increase your physical activity, want to get that movement, we've talked about how important that is, get that going. If you have a community that you're doing that with, whether that be different group exercise classes that, they offer at a multitude of gyms, joining CrossFit, joining a running club, a walking group, anything like that, a yoga class, just being around people who are all trying to do something good for themselves, is just, it's a great environment to keep you going, and keep you positive and influenced on your own personal goals. So to just make sure you don't get in the comparison mode with those people you're doing those activities with, stay in your lane in that sense, but just feeling that that support you can get from doing things for your all over wellness with a group of people.
Yeah, great. There was a question with email about osteoporosis last week, just to kind of change the tone a little bit. But, one of the things we always joke about in class, I guess maybe make it lighthearted, is, have you ever seen a cow with osteoporosis? No. Have you ever seen a horse with osteoporosis? No. They eat vegetables because they get their calcium from grass. and grains. So dark, and we as humans can get plenty of calcium from dark leafy greens and beans, but also weight bearing exercises. And you actually did your thesis on muscle mass and exercise and the plant based diet.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just basically, you know, while non-weight-bearing activities are great, you know, there's different forms of cardiovascular exercises that are non-weight-bearing, and those have their purpose in life. But making sure that you're either pounding the pavement out there, doing some resistance training with some, you know, weight-bearing activities, some, you know, any kind of force with you against the ground, you know, that tension that your muscle or your muscle pulls against your bones, you know, that's a good kind of stress that is really focusing on strengthening the bones themselves. So it's a little counterintuitive, but there's been plenty of studies done on improvement of bone density with interventions of resistance training type exercises in people over the age of 50. So even if they had never done it before, they saw significant improvements in their bone density. So I just think it's great to talk about the whole package.
What are the foods that you would recommend in somebody that has a diagnosis of osteoporosis?
Well, you know, green leafy vegetables are extremely high in calcium. You know, there's also been, you know, there are some discussions out there about phytates, like in your legumes, and, you know, if they're good or if they're bad. But there's been more studies done showing that, you know, vegetarians, vegans who are eating a high diet in phytates, so those are coming from those foods, they are getting enough calcium. They're not getting, you know, the blocking effects that we previously thought, that they aren't having issues with their bone density, that they actually are having, you know, either good sustainability within their bone density and or improvements with a plant-based diet that is rich in phytates coming from those food sources. So, you know, getting a well-balanced variety. Anything else you want to touch on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there may not be one giant source of calcium in your day, but there's a little bit of calcium in a lot of places. So again, the variety is what makes it good. So getting the greens, getting variety of different greens, you know, the nut milks have some calcium added to them sometimes. Tofu has calcium. Sesame seeds have calcium. You know, our beans and legumes have calcium into them. So by the time you add those different things up, most people are getting plenty of calcium into their diet the natural way. And we know from recent studies, there was a meta-analysis over 50,000 people taking vitamin, either calcium or calcium plus vitamin D or vitamin D, and there was no change in bone density or decrease in fractures. So taking those as a supplement form doesn't do any good. And if you look, I mean, you know, the sad news is about 6% of the United States are plant-based or vegetarian people. And so that means 94% are not. Yet, if you look at Walgreens and CVS and the amount of osteoporosis in this country, it's rampant. So those people who are theoretically eating all the dairy and all the milk and, you know, all these supposed good nutrients are having to rely on vitamins or for calcium and vitamin D, and it's obviously not working. So, you know, I think that, you know, for someone that goes plant-based and it's like all of a sudden they're worried about their bones, it's just the opposite. And there's also studies that show that if you compare vegans versus non-vegans over time, there's less muscle mass and less bone mass lost. So, you know, I'm not worried at all as far as, you know, my bone strength from what I'm eating. I don't feel that there's any worry as far as getting nutrients, as long as people are making a concerted effort to eat, you know, eat the rainbow, eat a variety of foods every day. You know, look at your plate, make sure it's colorful, that you have all the colors on it. And, you know, again, if you compare that to people that don't worry about what they eat and they eat the same, you know, couple things that are through a drive-in window every day. You know, that's crazy. All of a sudden now they're eating a plant-based diet and we're worried about it being, you know, well-balanced. But before, the standard American diet is not well-balanced in any way, shape, or form. So there. So this Saturday, or I guess
Drop.
Pardon me?
Mic drop.
Mic drop, yes. So next Saturday, you and I will be going to the Southwest Florida Veg Fest.
Yay, I get to come home.
Yep, so Addie's coming home, and we're going to put up our Heartbeats on Plant Strong tent, and we'll have our new shirts are in. So our new podcast shirts are in, so people have the opportunity to get those. And if you want to get those shirts, you can actually go on the website and get them. We have the other shirts as well as those shirts, so that'll be exciting. We're going to do a little food demo. We're going to talk about some of our successes down there, so it should be a fun time. Hopefully we'll do a little FaceTime and get it up on the website so you can see how much fun we're having down in Estero, Florida.
Countless number of selfies to be had.
Yeah. Addie's also the director of media, so we should have plenty of things going on. So, you know, I think that, you know, just kind of to wrap things up a little bit, just, you know, reviewing, you know, sometimes in when we talk about nutrition, we want to, and even in medicine, we, you know, we get caught up in data and numbers. Your hemoglobin A1C, your glucose value, your calcium level, your bone score, your cholesterol, your good cholesterol, your bad cholesterol. And we forget to look at the whole patient on how they're actually doing. But, you know, when you are changing, you know, some of these and becoming plant-based and on this journey, sometimes the review of the progress with these numbers can be helpful. So you can see, you know, how you're coming along. So that hemoglobin A1C, which looks at the number of glucose molecules on your hemoglobin, can be beneficial to look at, not so much in a negative sense, but, you know, to track your progress, and gives us a little bit of feedback on, you know, how we might improve things. So, you know, don't be afraid of looking at the numbers. I think to ignore the numbers is wrong. We don't want to get caught up in the numbers, but we want to use those numbers to look back and say, okay, what did we do differently? Whether you're keeping a food journal, and look what's on there, or how many times you eat out in a week, or look at a particular nutrient that, you know, you may or may not have cut back a little bit, and see how it affects your progress. So I guess that would be the take-home message today, is kind of review the data. Don't get stuck on it, and don't use it to penalize yourself, but use it to look at the positives and, you know, change
it
your course.
No,
the numbers don't define you. So any parting words?
Just show you where you are at, not where you're capable of going.
Right. We're all on a journey. There's nobody to the perfect, you know, no one's perfect. And, you know, where we want to get to the perfect diet as far as a whole food, plant-based, every color under the rainbow every day, you know, every day it may not happen. And our journey, there may be things that we don't like that we're trying to get there. But from where you are, if you're making a little progress for you each day, then that's a great thing.
Amen to that, sister.
All right. Well, until next time, you can email us at info@drdelaney.com, or you can email to Addie direct at Addie@drdelaney.com, or Jamie@drdelaney.com. Again, check out eventbrite.com for tickets for the conference. And, you know, check out the website as far as our programs. Addie is actually offering a initial consultation, if you just want to do a one-time consultation with her, and you can decide how you would like to structure things from there. Maybe you would like we have the level one online program, but you can structure things and kind of see what fits for you. Maybe you'd like a series of consults with her, or you'd like to talk to both of us and do our online level two membership. So take a look at the membership website. You know, one of the things that we really enjoy is getting to know people. So it's not just a throw out a diet at people or throw out a menu at people. We really want to get to know you and to understand where you are in your journey and help you from where you are. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening as always. And I guess we'll do the little plug as far as, can I just do that? We made the list for top plant-based podcasts. So thank you all for listening. And if you have the desire, we would love for you to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That always helps us to get to pass the word along. And the more people we get to be plant-based, the more choices we'll all have when we're traveling around trying to find good nutrition. So have a good week, and we'll be anxiously telling you about what we found at the VegFest. See ya.
See ya.